It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's a reality for many parents and caregivers in Pittsburgh. You're stuck waiting for a bus in the city, and your kids start getting bored and antsy. And as part of WESA's Life of Learning initiative, Deanna Garcia reports on a new program which hopes to find teachable moments in even the most mundane activities.
Tell me about ice cream.
Tasty.
Instead of advertisements for law firms or universities, 23 bus shelters around Pittsburgh now have a poster adorned with colorful pictures of things such as ice cream, picnics, and kiddie pools. The wordplay posters are part of an effort from the Fred Rogers Company to get adults talking to and interacting with kids.
We want them to have fun with it, to take a few minutes out of their hectic, overscheduled, busy, stressful day and just play wordplay. I mean, that's why it's called wordplay. The play is so important to kids. It's the work of kids, and so it's part of their development.
Margie Whitmer is a producer at the Fred Rogers Company. She says using time spent waiting for a bus, talking to kids, having them tell stories and such, helps them build their vocabulary and literacy skills. At a shelter on the south side, a group of preschool kids and their teacher give the game a try.
We're going to play something called wordplay, and I think I'm going to ask Kiara and see if she can find something that starts with the first letter of her name, K. Look right on top of Jack's head.
Last year, a pilot wordplay project, which relied more heavily on technology such as smartphones, was launched with limited success. Whitmer says this version can be done completely without technology.
There are lots and lots of wonderful digital games that people can play, but it's nice to have a balance of human contact, human communication, as well as, you know, this wonderful, you know, all the technology that kids are so hip to these days.
It doesn't take much prompting to get this group of preschool kids talking. Teacher Miguel Sage asks a few questions, and the kids are eager to talk.
Popsicles? What do you think popsicles stands for?
Pee.
Oh, man, that's pretty cool.
And there will pee in your pants.
But why have such posters? Parents can talk to their kids about anything, passing cars, birds, nearby buildings. But Whitmer says sometimes in the bustle of the day and in the midst of being rushed, adults can forget to interact with children.
I think we want to just make people aware of that time that they can spend with their children, and that we really are hoping that we can get these kids to get their literacy skills, their pre-literacy skills up to snuff. So that you know, they're ready for school.
In addition to the bus shelters, the posters have been placed in 10 tea cars. They'll be up through October with a different theme for each month. The summer theme up for August has the kids on the south side excitedly talking about picnics, bee stings, and bugs in general.
They're called worms.
They're ladybugs.
Calibans.
They're ladybugs,
guys.
I kill calibans.
Funding for this three-month run comes from the Grable Foundation and the James F. McCandless Charitable Trust. Whitmer emphasizes the ultimate goal of the posters is to get kids and adults talking with one another.
You know, Fred Rogers always used to say that it's through relationships that we learn the best and grow the best. And so it's that human connection.
By the end of about half an hour of trying out wordplay, the group of preschoolers was ready to go to the park. But when asked if they had fun with the poster and their teacher, they gave a pretty clear answer.
Yeah!
I'm Deanna Garcia, 90.5 WESA News.
Thank you, Deanna. And now, joining me here in Studio A, Margie Whitmer to talk about wordplay, and Dr. Roberta Schomburg, Professor of Education and Director of the Graduate Program in Early Childhood Studies at Carlow University. They're here to talk about the importance of regular conversation between parent and child. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start with Margie Whitmer over to my left. Where did the idea for these activities come from?
Well, it came from a lot of different places, but I was interested in helping people and parents use this time when they're waiting as a time for teachable moment. Make it a teachable moment. It's to encourage informal learning, And I at one point I saw a bus, I saw a parent and a child at a bus stop, and I was at the stoplight, and I thought, wow, that would be a great idea to give them that opportunity to use that advertising space with some stimulus to help them communicate with each other as well as build these pre-literacy skills. And that idea came from the idea of a study that was done a few years ago called the Hart-Risley Research Study. And it proved that people who talk to their children, read to them, make them comfortable with language, help them become better readers when it's time for them to go to school.
Someone hearing this, though, a skeptic might say, well, gee, why do we need to prompt this kind of interaction? Can't it happen anyway without, say, something like a colorful poster?
Well, I think for some people, it's just hard to relax and to get started with something like that. If you're from a family that doesn't talk a lot, if you weren't talked to a lot, then it doesn't occur to you that you could say, look at this picture of a popsicle. Let's, you know, what color is it? And have that be significant. Or what makes you like this picture of a butterfly? Why do you like butterfly? That all of that builds to help the child become comfortable with language.
As I hear this, and as I'm sure as others are hearing it, they're probably thinking, hey, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad, for engaging me in conversation. And as you say, it can happen anywhere. But why put them at a bus shelter?
Because that's a time when people are waiting, they're stressful. It's just a time that you have to wait anyway. Why not have fun doing it? That I think parents don't understand how much they have to offer their children, that they're the most important person in that child's life, and they're awesome in all that they know. And so this is a time that you can sit and use that awesomeness and share it with your child.
That's Margie Whitmer, and also with us in studio, Dr. Roberta Schomburg. Dr. Schomburg, for the parents that don't talk with their kids, are they really going to be inclined to use these activities with their child?
Well, I think it can be helpful. As Margie said, we know that when children come to school from families where there's been a lot of conversation, they have a much richer vocabulary. I think we've done a great job. We professionals, teachers, librarians, and reading specialists have done a wonderful job of getting the message out that it's important to read to children. We see posters about it, and I think parents understand that's important. We haven't done such a good job of letting parents know that conversation is equally important, that we have to have these dialogues with children, and that what they're learning is vocabulary, syntax, the way sentences go together, and they really need to have that background before they get to school. So part of our job, I think, is to help parents try to look for ways that they can engage in conversations. And as Margie said, some families may just not be that comfortable. Many mm-hmm. parents use more directive vocabulary with children, come here, do this, let's go here, that is more related to guidance and discipline than actual conversations. And so we're hoping that at places like a bus shelter where there is waiting time, that instead of it having to be a sort of a disciplinary relationship, that it could be a fun experience, that parents could look at the poster and ask their children some questions. And I think parents get excited when they actually have those conversations with children.
Is it harder to encourage those kinds of moments in this day and age? Oftentimes you have two working parents. Years ago, a mother might be waiting with her children at a bus stop and wasn't necessarily worried about working later that day. But that may be the time when a mom is going over notes for a meeting while she's waiting with the kids to go to school. And so they may not be as tuned in to their children's needs today as they were maybe years ago.
I think that's true. I think parents are under a tremendous amount of stress. We're all so busy. And so hopefully something like wordplay could help parents just slow down a bit, look at the environment, engage with their children. And I think in the long run, we find those kinds of activities actually help reduce stress both in the adults and in the children. If parents are leading stressful lives, children are going to feel that stress.
Very important words. Dr. Roberta Schomburg, you just heard there, and also with us, Margie Whitmer. If you'd like to join the conversation, you have a question about wordplay, 412-246-2002. Let's welcome in Chris from Moon. Chris, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi there, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I'm a poet. You might not realize that's how I made my millions. But
a poet, but yeah. We didn't know it.
Yes, I'm a poet, exactly. But I want to know, is there a similar program essentially for poetry and poets? I mean, in a lot of cities you see, you know, poems on the subway in New York and so on. Are your guests familiar with any such program for poetry?
Well, Margie's nodding her head.
Yeah, I do remember reading something about something like that and thought, I'm sure that was part of the inspiration for Wordplay. I just thought that's pretty advanced. So let's start with regular vocabulary and what children can connect to and understand. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for that phone call. Dr. Schomburg, some members of parliament in England have started a Talk to Your Baby campaign to get parents to engage with their child. I think some of us have heard that there is a benefit to holding your child, interacting physically with your child at an early age. What about communicating with an infant or toddler? What sorts of benefits might that bring?
Well, it really lays the foundation for oral language, which is, again, the foundation for reading and writing. And so we recommend in the early years that parents engage in a lot of face-to-face interaction with their babies from the earliest days of life. We know that children begin producing sounds in the first few months. And so even though the adult is talking words, speaking words, the child may not yet understand, they respond back. And so what they're learning is the reciprocity that is part of language development. So they pick up the nonverbal communication. They also hear the intonations of the language that the parents are using. And we know that by 10 months of age, children have already lost the capacity to hear the sounds from languages that they're not used to hearing. So when children are born, they have the capacity to hear all of the various sounds.
Sure.
But by 10 months, it becomes pruned down to the language that the child is hearing, typically the birth language.
So a child at that age, less than a year, they may not respond, they may not be able to formulate a word, but they'll respond with a sound that in their own mind is a response to what they're hearing?
Right. And sometimes it's ba 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 or mum 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 mum. But they also get the pitch. So they begin to get the pitch of the language, and they begin to get the intonations, and they begin to get the rhythm, the cadence, and the listen and respond that is part of language development.
This is fascinating. You're talking about what potentially can happen between parents and infants or toddlers. Now, as they get older, certainly they're, as you're saying, needs to be more interaction than just specific orders being barked out by the parent. What are some of the reasons that parents give you for not taking the time to talk with their kids?
I think many parents don't even realize that they're not taking time or responding. It's often a parenting style. Sometimes it's a parenting style that has been handed down through generations.
Seen and not heard.
Correct. That's one of them. We also tend to respond to children the way our parents responded to us. So it might just be that has not been a family pattern. But helping parents understand how important it is, I think, opens up everyone's eyes to what the value is and what we can do in everyday moments. Just little times of the day, like the waiting at a bus stop, when we could use that time for learning time. Many people now are referring to it as, even with books, as dialogic reading. And that's, you know, reading, but taking time to talk with children about what's on the pages. Here we're talking about dialogic conversations around the pictures that they're seeing.
Margie, what do you think adults can get out of these activities?
I guess I think that they can have fun. They can learn from their children what they know and what they don't know. They can have that chance to use their imaginations as well with their children when they're making up stories. They can learn something new about themselves and their children all in this little space of 5 minutes or 8 minutes or however long you're waiting for the bus, that somewhere I feel like that it helps them to know, I do have something to give to my child. You know, I'm having a good time, and we're learning something here together, and this is fun, and this doesn't have to be hard. It can be fun.
Do parents ever say to you, I don't know how to start, I don't know how to initiate the conversation with my children, and does this give them that vehicle to start, a launching point for some sort of conversation with their children?
Well, I haven't actually had anybody say that to me, but I do, I did sit down and we did put this program together and the posters together with some prompts for parents on them so that they would get that help.
So you suspect that may well be the case.
Yeah. Yeah, that some people just have a hard time getting started. And it's, you know, parents, I think, have this image of how they should act and what they should do. And so it might be hard for them to say, well, where would you go on the outer space visit? What kind of creatures would you see there? You know, those are things you don't ask. As an adult, you've kind of either never had that in your life, or it's like, okay, I've given up childish ways now. I can't do that because I'm 35 years old.
But not if you're raising children.
Right.
I think we also have standard ways of talking to children. So we've all said, what did you do at school today? And the response is, nothing.
Right.
So I think it's giving parents new questions as conversation starters that is really important.
And are there any other ways that you think are important to use to reach out to families?
Well, I mean, I've been talking with some child care centers and different community groups to ask them to encourage their clients and people in their neighborhood who have young children to, play the game and talk about it. Yesterday, a woman's going to put it in a barbershop in Homewood, see what happens there. So, you know, there's lots of ways to use it.
Well, we've been talking about wordplay here in Studio A with Margie Whitmer, who's involved in the program, and Dr. Roberta Schomburg, professor of education and director of the graduate program in early childhood studies at Carlow University. And if people want to find out more about this and some of the things you'll be doing going forward, where do they turn for information?
Just come to our website, www.fredrogers.org/wordplay.
And we'll link to it on our website at wesa.fm. Margie Whitmer and Dr. Roberta Schomburg, again, thank you both for being with us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Coming up, what to do over Labor Day weekend. Our travel correspondent, Elaine LaBalme, is with us next here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.